Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. But first, I want to talk about get a perspective of what's going on. And so many things are happening right now. I know that probably, you know, you may just be not listening to anything. But that's not good, because that's the end result. Once you give up your participation in society, you lose society. You know, I believe it was Dr. King that said, true evil is when good men do nothing or remain silent.
Right.
And there's we have to say something, because in the end, we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. That did we open our mouth? He says, listen, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. And so many people talk like, well, not, Jesus is going to let me in heaven. He's just going to be ashamed of me. No, that's not how it's going to happen.
Right.
Either he's the Lord of your life or he's not. And so when we're looking at the perspective, we're going to talk about what's happening with Islam around the world and what's happening in America. You know, we just had some radical Muslims up in Boston kill and maim, you know, Americans. Hundreds were just brutally damaged forever, and four were killed. An entire city was stopped. Mm-hmm. The entire federal and state and city governments were spent on resolving what basically two young radicalized Muslims who did this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were having, according to it's reported, they were having issues with what was happening in Afghanistan. And that's the region that they're not from, Afghanistan, but. And it's like, you know what? But still, I mean, if a Christian is blowing things up, and they have done that, and there is history where the Crusaders, you know, did terrible things in the towards people, you got to call it. You got to say that's wrong. You can't. You know, you say it's wrong. You stand up. You stand up for that. And you think about. Just think about this. I think about where CBN News was reporting that this Muslim Christian romance sparks a church attack. In Egypt, the police fought with angry Muslims outside of a Coptic church, a Christian church in Cairo. This mob was throwing stones because a Christian man and a Muslim woman had a romance. Well, the woman is said to have converted to Christianity before they ran away to Turkey. And they're mm-hmm. saying that this church had something to do with this whole romance. So now they're attacking this church, and it's like, wow. That's called getting saved. You know, it means that she gave her life to Jesus, and he was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously you're showing why they had to flee. They had to flee because look what you're doing.
Exactly.
Look what's happening to Pastor Saeed and all the different people who are Christians. And it's like, the police had to use tear gas. The whole, can you imagine your church? And listen, this is what we're doing in America right now. And I want to tell you, you know, God loves Muslims, and that's not what I'm not talking about that. God loves Muslims. God loves you. If you're a Muslim, you know, I believe that God loves you. And you can go to Who Does God Love on the VFN Torch, and you can hear, I believe, the right perspective of that. But God doesn't want you to kill anybody.
Mm.
He doesn't want you to kill. He actually died. He died for you. And all this sensitive stuff about being sensitive to what we say and what we do. Listen, if you're killing, you know, there's no sensitivity needed there. You just need to say, that's wrong. You're going to go to jail. We're going to stop that. Whatever it is. I mean, you have a right to be free in America, but not a right to harm people. Nor do you have a right to be able to promote harm against Americans or fellow Americans or Americans or the government. And I just think about right now, and this, I want to give you a perspective, because it's happening all over the place. Anytime we try to partner with, what does light and darkness have to do with each other? That's the whole thing. You right. Just, they shouldn't even be hanging around each other. Definitely shouldn't say, you know, one, if it's true light, it's going to cancel out the darkness. They're going to conflict. But if it's not true light, then they can merge because they're both dark. Mm-hmm. But listen to CBN as they're talking about what's taking place right now in Nigeria, where they're calling it the killing fields. You know where they're killing? They're killing Christians. Listen up.
In a nation divided by religion, Muslim extremists could force a civil war. Hello, everyone. I'm George Thomas.
And I'm Wendy Griffith. Last year, more Christians were killed in Nigeria than in any other country. Senior international correspondent Gary Lane tells us why Nigerian believers are targeted and what can be done to help them.
Bombings like this one gave Nigeria the sad distinction of the nation with the highest Christian death toll. More than 900 Christians reportedly were killed in Nigeria last year, victims of the Boko Haram terrorist group and other Islamic militants.
They are so radical that they do not even spare Muslims. If Muslims are sympathetic to any cause at all, if they are sympathetic to the Christians' cause or the minorities' cause, they are also termed as, infidels.
In 2013, radicals have killed more than 120 Nigerians, most of them Christians. Gregory Lahr is an international human rights attorney.
It is happening now at this time because there appears to be a new resurgence, a new Islamic awareness on the need to further propagate their religion.
Because of this wave of violence, various groups in southern Nigeria are taking up arms to protect the Christians. Attorney Emmanuel Ogebe warns the country may be on the brink of a broader conflict.
Because of the massive Christian-Muslim population in Nigeria, there's no country on earth that is as rich and ready for a religious war. All the elements, all the ingredients are there.
Ogebe spoke at a recent conference sponsored by the Washington, D.C.-based Jubilee Campaign. Some panelists criticized the U.S. State Department's reluctance to blame the violence in Nigeria on Islamic extremism.
The route they are taking is dangerous. It's against American interest, and it's not positive. It's not sensible. The ultimate aim of this is extremism. It's not just to wipe out Christians. It will hit back here ultimately.
For years, Islamic militants limited their attacks on Christians to the 12 northern Nigerian states where Sharia law is in place. Now they're pressing into central and southern states where Christians are in the majority. World Magazine reporter Mindy Bell says the pattern is all too familiar.
We've seen it happen in Sudan. We've seen it in Mali. We've seen it in parts of the Middle East and other parts of North Africa. When that happens, what is growing up in there are also the seeds of terrorism that is targeting the West.
So what is the solution to stop the attacks against Christians and others? Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan has proposed a possible amnesty for Boko Haram terrorists. Stefanos Foundation founder Mark Lipto says amnesty would be a mistake.
It goes to say that the government must have to succumb to the pressure of terror. And then we see that it will go in to reward the perpetrator to continue to carry out his carnage. That is wrong.
The problem has gone beyond Nigeria alone. It actually has its roots in Mali, in Libya. So even if the Nigerian situation is well contained and the borders are not secure, you have not solved the problem.
Lipto suggests Christians united in prayer can make a difference.
What we see is disunity that has taken on the church. And so the voiceless are not being represented. But if we look to the person Christ and avoid all these differences and come together, we will be able to give a voice to the voiceless, and that is what we're called to do.
Gary Lane, CBN News.
This is so important because you're seeing people, people say, well, this is what people are saying. This is what they're saying. Does it really matter? He said, Jesus said, you know them by their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know them by their fruit. And this is what's happening when it becomes radicalized and Islam begins to take over a nation. The Sharia law kicks in, which is the northern parts of Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And then just through, winning converts to Islam, we're going to talk about that. What is the difference between Christianity and Islam? What is the contrast between the Bible and the Quran? And we're also going to talk about the Muslim Brotherhood that our leadership appears to have decided that they need to partner with the Muslim Brotherhood to accomplish their Middle East policies, these different things going on. But you have to understand who the Muslim Brotherhood is and what their creed is. And we'll be talking about that, a real simple explanation of the Muslim Brotherhood as well. So I'm trying to get a perspective of what's going on, but why is Nigeria, why are they, it's the killing fields for Christians in Nigeria. What's happening in America, and why are we befriending a people who has an ideology that says we want to destroy American, we want to destroy America, the Constitution, we want to destroy Christians, and we want to destroy Jews? Why would we want, why, that is not, that's not a peaceful, when you think about the Constitution that we talk about on the original intent, it's, you know, the whole purpose of the, and when you think about the preamble to the Constitution, it says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Well, listen, if you're hating America and you're hating the Constitution and you hate Jews and you hate Christians, you don't fit. You're violating the Constitution by doing that, right?
Right.
It'd be a constitutional violation. To ensure domestic tranquility, provide for a common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. That's what it's about. So we're seeing, you know, how are we going to befriend an ideology that's against the very Constitution in which we stand for? And so important, because it does, these things that we're seeing take place in Nigeria right now, it's happening because of radical Islam. Radical Islam, which means this, they believe, you know, what is written down in the Quran. And they that's what you call radical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a moderate is they believe some of the things.
Like part of it.
Yeah. Like a backslidden Christian, you know. Yeah. Well, I don't believe all the Bible, but I believe some of the Bible.
Right.
And then a liberal Muslim would be considered an infidel to a radical, somebody who actually believed the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told, you know, by an attorney who, a Florida attorney who's worked in this particular arena, he says, the hope for America is a backslidden Muslim and a backslidden Christian.
Right.
And basically, that's what he said,
yeah,
right?
That's what he said.
That's what he said, yeah. Because somebody who doesn't go by the Quran, who calls himself a Muslim, and somebody who doesn't go by the Bible, who calls himself a Christian. Because it's dark and light. It's the opposites of each other. They're bipolar statements. You can't say dark and light at the same time. I mean, it's not going to come out gray. And so what is the difference? What is the difference between, and you need to go to VFN TV if you haven't yet, and watch the prophetic timely teaching called State of the Nation, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. You have to understand these things. He says that we're supposed to look and search out the signs of the times and what's taking place. If somebody who seeks to destroy America and harm our Constitution and harm citizens of America, whether Christians or not, or Jews or not, that's not a person who needs to be in America. And it's not an ideology that can coexist in America, because if it's against the Constitution, it's unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to begin to listen at a we're going to contrast Christianity and Islam, the Bible and the Quran, to be able to understand. And we may have to finish this in the extra hour, but listen up. We're just talking about right there, Secretary of State, Congressman Michelle Bachmann is talking about how that we've been infiltrated. Our government's been infiltrated by the Muslim Brotherhood, by Islam. They're purging everything to do through the FBI libraries, anything to do about radical Islam, just removing everything. And our representative government's shouting out there. And the question is, are we going to stand up for them? But we need to, you know, one thing we need to do, we need to find out, you know, what is the comparison? If you put the Quran, which is Muhammad's writings that he says he heard from God, he says Jesus, they do acknowledge Jesus, but they acknowledge him as a prophet, not the Son of God, that Jesus has to come back according to the Quran and repent for calling himself the Son of God. And then he will be the assistant to their God. You know, it's like, hello, you know,
wow.
And look at they're just dead set on destroying. They're destroying the Jews and the Christians. And it's like, why is that? It's amazing what's taking place. So let's compare. And as you're hearing this, you can see it. We have it on a video for you, so you can say, okay, there's the Quran, there's the Bible. Here's the Quran, Here's the Bible. You go to VFNTV.com, you click on it. But listen up. We have a very limited amount of time to be able to do that. So you're going to come to the extra hour, the beginning of the extra hour. We're going to be able to have that contrast. You're going to hear firsthand. I'm going to give you just a little bit of it now. And you're going to hear the full thing in the extra hour. Listen up.
In a plot twist so strange, it's hard to believe, Christians, Jews, and Muslims all trace their lineage to the same man, Abraham, and their physical roots to the same place, Jerusalem. The religions believe in many of the same prophets, and even the basic framework of many key prophecies.
Obviously, you had Abraham, who's the father of Isaac and Ishmael. Now, on Isaac's side, he was the father of Jacob, who became Israel, and obviously that's the father of the Jewish faith. And then on the other side, you had Ishmael, and then you also had Edom, or Esau. And it was out of those individuals on that side of the Abrahamic family that many of the Middle Eastern nationalities derive from. Now, Muhammad, the founder of Islam, claims to have been a direct descendant 2,600 years after Ishmael.
It's interesting because we all share that common rootage. As a matter of fact, there is an exhibit at the New York Public Library called The Three Faiths, and three faiths all beginning with Abraham, so to speak.
Jews, Christians, Muslims all point to Jerusalem as the epicenter of their faith, and they all believe that that is where all history will wind up, in part because Abraham was touched by God there, was spoken to and communicated with God there.
All the three major religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, believe in the return or in the coming of a Messiah that is going to bring peace where peace is going to reign supreme on earth.
But who the Messiah is and how that peace is achieved is very much in dispute. The Jewish faith believes the Messiah will be human and will oversee a period of great transformation on earth.
There will be a resurrection of the dead. There will be the return of justice. There will be true peace amongst all peoples. The rebuilding of the temple will take place.
This is so important. What you're hearing is a contrast between Christianity and Islam, the Bible and the Quran. And obviously we're coming to the end of the first hour, so we're going to pick this up, and you're going to hear it in its entirety in the extra hour. We got to understand what's happening. Why is there so much killing taking place of Christians and threats towards the Jews? What's taking place? We have to wake up. Don't ever forget, and you can find this article in the Torch, JJ, what is their response towards the Jews and Jesus, the Christians? Because that's how you find out what spirit they're of.
In a plot twist so strange, it's hard to believe, Christians, Jews, and Muslims all trace their lineage to the same man, Abraham, and their physical roots to the same place, Jerusalem. The religions believe in many of the same prophets, and even the basic framework of many key prophecies.
Obviously, you had Abraham, who's the father of Isaac and Ishmael. Now, on Isaac's side, he was the father of Jacob, who became Israel, and obviously that's the father of the Jewish faith. And then on the other side, you had Ishmael, and then you also had Edom, or Esau. And it was out of those individuals on that side of the Abrahamic family that many of the Middle Eastern nationalities derive from. Now, Muhammad, the founder of Islam, claims to have been a direct descendant 2,600 years after Ishmael.
It's interesting because we all share that common rootage. As a matter of fact, there is an exhibit at the New York Public Library called The Three Faiths, and three faiths all beginning with Abraham, so to speak.
Jews, Christians, Muslims all point to Jerusalem as the epicenter of their faith, and they all believe that that is where all history will wind up, in part because Abraham was touched by God there, was spoken to and communicated with God there.
All the three major religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, believe in the return or in the coming of a Messiah that is going to bring peace, where peace is going to reign supreme on earth.
But who the Messiah is and how that peace is achieved is very much in dispute. The Jewish faith believes the Messiah will be human and will oversee a period of great transformation on earth.
There will be a resurrection of the dead. There will be the return of justice. There will be true peace amongst all peoples. The rebuilding of the temple will take place. Now, there are those who take a bit of a different stance and say, well, it's going to happen through human development, not necessarily in the hands of one person, but collectively it will take place.
The messianic beliefs of Christians and Muslims represent a sort of anti-parallel. Similar stories told from very different perspectives with very different outcomes.
I think of it as a photographic negative of each other.
Christians believe the returning Messiah will be Jesus Christ. Islam's savior is the Mahdi, who will emerge as the Pope, President, and General of the world.
According to the Bible, the Antichrist revives an empire. According to Islamic end-time view, the Mahdi revives an Islamic empire.
In the Bible, the Old Testament prophet Daniel says the Antichrist will set up his seat of authority on the Temple Mount in Israel and will actively persecute and martyr Jews as his enemies. Islam teaches the Mahdi will operate from the same Temple Mount in Jerusalem and will cause Jews and other non-believers to either convert to Islam or die.
On the biblical side, the Antichrist will specifically use the method of beheading to martyr his enemies, to destroy his enemies. On the Islamic side, it's within the Quran that says, strike the necks of the unbelievers. Some translations actually say, behead the unbelievers.
Revelation 13 says, the Antichrist will have an assistant, a false prophet. It refers to him as a dragon in the clothing of a ram or a lamb.
On the Islamic side, Muslims believe that Jesus returns. Again, they call him Isa al-Masih. He comes back as an assistant to the Mahdi. And he tells all of the Christians of the world, your Bible is corrupt. I never claimed to be the Son of God. I never died on the cross. The Christian religion is false. Islam is the true religion, and you need to follow the Mahdi.
The biblical Antichrist will reign for 7 years. The Mahdi, 7 years. Both religions talk about a mark of the beast. Christians believe it will be put on the forehead, wrist, or forearm of those who follow the Antichrist. Only those with the mark will be allowed to buy or sell goods. The Bible teaches that anyone taking the mark will ultimately be cast into hell.
Muslims have borrowed this concept of the mark of the beast. Muslims actually teach this individual known as the Dabat al-Ard. He is the beast of the earth. It comes up out of the earth. They believe he will be a literal beast, and it says that he will mark the foreheads of all true Muslim believers. So on the Islamic side, Muslims are actually hoping to be marked with the mark of the beast.
The Islamic faith also believes in an Antichrist figure called Ad-Dajjal al-Masih. It refers to him as the false Jewish Messiah, or Jewish King, who returns claiming to be the Son of God, claiming to be Jesus Christ. And the anti-parallel continues.
When you look at Revelation 19, this is really the quintessential picture of the return of Jesus in the Bible. He bursts forth from heaven on a white horse. He's followed by the armies of heaven. And then it says the kings of the earth gather together to make war against him. And you ask yourself, you say, what in the world are they thinking? This supernatural man just burst forth from heaven, and they think they can defeat him. Well, when you understand Islamic eschatology, you understand these kings will actually believe that Jesus is the Dajjal, the Antichrist, and they will believe that it is their divine destiny to kill him.
Richardson believes the Muslim people have been set up by their own belief system to fulfill the prophecies of the Bible, believing they are following their Savior, when in fact, they'll be following the biblical Antichrist.
You can't make this stuff up. I mean, you can't make it up. It's just, the thing is that there's the contrast. And which is really cool. You need a contrast. You need to decide, choose today who you're going to serve. You can't be on both sides of this equation. And understanding that This particular, the adversary, Satan, has used this amongst other, used this particular religion to set itself up against Jesus Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything, it's the opposite.
Total opposite.
It's the whole opposite, where we're saying, you know, reading in Revelation that, you know, Satan's going to, you know, come from the earth. You know, they're saying their savior's going to come from the earth. They're celebrating that, hey, we're going to get a mark. And we're saying, like, don't get the mark because you don't have the mark. And it's like people are lining up. And it's, you say, well, that couldn't happen. Well, look, it's happening. And understand that people are so often forced into to convert, you know, serve, convert, or die. And you'll see that. You can see this when you go to the VFN Torch and look at the comparison. Understand this. God loves Muslims. He loves Muslims, and they're created in his image and his likeness. And you got to go, who does God love? You got to go there, and you can probably hear it by going to the VFN Torch and understand that God loves you. And the belief system of Islam is anti his son,
mm-hmm.
anti Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so how are you going to be in relationship with God when you're rejecting his son as the only way to him? You know, he's more than the prophet. He's the son of God. He's the only way. He's the only way to God through his sacrifice on the cross. And that's just an excellent way to be able to look at this contrast that we're talking about. You can see this on the VFN Torch comparison, the video that you just saw. And you need this. You need this to be able to be on the right side of the conversation to understand that. Also, you know, going to VFNTV.com and go to VFN TV on the menu and watch the State of the Nation, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. And it just breaks it down and begins to show you how this thing has been operating, what's been going on, and why when you see Israel surrounded today by enemies on every side and them forced to have to defend themselves with these nuclear weapons, these biological weapons, I mean, that are being transported, giving it to the Hamas, and they had to take it out, you know, reportedly, mm-hmm. and so they wouldn't get in the hand of these terrorists, the Hamas, and why would... It's just like, you know, I'm looking, I just can't, there's just so many things going on. Understand that it's not something that happened long, long ago in a land far, far away. It's happening in your neighborhood. It's happening right now on the earth in the time that you exist. You have to wake up and understand this. And what you find out when you watch State of the Nation, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel, is that ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. If we don't stand up for Israel, and I thank God for Christians United for Israel with John Hagee, as he's, you know, we are part of our small part of joining with that, as well as holding America's leaders attention to Israel. And you have to stand for Israel. They won't stand for Israel if we don't stand for Israel and ask our leaders to stand for them. You need to find out, you know, where your representatives, where your congresspeople, you know, stand with Israel and say your expectations is for them to stand for Israel, because to be silent is to assure the destruction of your nation and the bondage and captivity of the church, that he blesses those who bless Israel. And so that we saw what you find out in that State of the Nation prophetic teaching is that the first thing that our president did, and I encourage you to pray for the president and his wife and his children, and God tells us and commands us to pray for those in authority over us, that you may have a peaceful life, understanding that, you know, God loves our president. Mm-hmm. God loves, he's not into parties and all that. And it's for us to pray, you know, pray for him, pray protection over him, that he can hear from counsel from on high. But the first thing he did internationally is to, he went to Cairo, Egypt, at Cairo University, and President Mubarak, mm-hmm. the president of Egypt at that time, had banned the Muslim Brotherhood, had totally banned them. So there wasn't even legal for them to even function inside of Egypt. But they invited them to his speech in Cairo, Egypt.
Right. Crazy.
And Mubarak wasn't there. And we're seeing why now. And then our president, you'll hear this, begins to paint a whole possibility in his speech of raising the Muslim Brotherhood to power and giving them a place to be able to function. Prior to that, they didn't have a place in Egypt, but our president went and made arranged for the Muslim Brotherhood to be seen in a different light. And they took it and they ran with it. And now they're over Egypt, but now they're beginning to be over all these different things. And we're seeing them even with Michelle Bachmann, Congressman Michelle Bachmann, talking about that even in our government, she said it's reported in our government that we've literally have been infiltrated by the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we come back, we're about to go to a break, but when we come back from this break, we're going to give you a breakdown. What is the Muslim Brotherhood? What does it really mean? Of course, it's part of Islam. It's Muslims, but it is a brotherhood that was established, and we're going to understand it a little bit more. But they have a creed, which basically means what they believe, and it's going to show you that they're not the Jews' friends. They're not Christian friends. They're not friends of the Constitution of America. I was just sharing about how the state of the nation, which you can see on VFN TV, in the context of that, you see firsthand how that the president's first international speech, the first international speech that he had with Cairo, Egypt, was empowering the Muslim Brotherhood, and putting them in a place, and it happened. Next thing you know, the Muslim Brotherhood came to power in Egypt, and Mubarak's dead, right?
That's right.
Mubarak is dead. The president of Egypt is dead. And next thing you know, we're actually sending money, you know, $1.3 billion to Egypt, and we're sending war planes to Egypt. The first thing that Egypt did was to close down the Israeli embassy and run the Jews out of Egypt. And it's like, hello,
yeah,
this is major. And you say, well, that's just, you know, that's just their form of, no, it's we need to understand the Muslim Brotherhood 101. And you're going to hear this, but there's also a whiteboard demonstration kind of give you an explanation is where did the Muslim Brotherhood come from? Understand it's called the Muslim Brotherhood. So it's Muslim Brotherhood. Now, every Muslim's not a part of the Muslim Brotherhood, but this is who's in power in Egypt. This is who it appears that our current leadership is partnering with for a mindset of this is how they're going to bring about what they feel is the right thing in their way of thinking for the world and for America. But we're seeing radical Islam and what it does with jihad, what happened in Boston up here. But listen, this is. I guess you could call it Muslim Brotherhood 101. Listen up.
Today, the Middle East stands on the brink of full-scale conversion to Muslim Brotherhood fanaticism, yet President Obama does not seem to see the problem. President Obama's hand-picked director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said that the Brotherhood is, quote, largely secular, unquote. President Obama seemed unconcerned about the rise of the Brotherhood in Egypt. In fact, he invited Ikhwan members to his Cairo speech in 2009, tailored the speech to meet the Brotherhood's grievances and indulge his narratives, and cozied up to Muslim Brotherhood American satellites despite their involvement with terror groups all across the world. The Obama policy of courting the Muslim Brotherhood has not changed the brothers. It has empowered them to advance their anti-American program. They are now on the verge of control in Egypt and Libya, and their ideology dominates the Muslim world. But what is the Muslim Brotherhood? Well, in 1928, a young Egyptian educator known as the Guide to his followers and Hassan al-Banna to the rest of the world founded a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. The movement was virulently anti-colonial, but not because Banna was a nationalist or an Egyptian patriot. He was neither. Banna's loyalty was to the Muslim Ummah and the ideal that Islam must dominate across national lines. He was anti-colonial because he abhorred the West. The Brotherhood's development was spurred by Turkey's rigorous campaign of secularization. Following the final defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, Kemal Atatürk had spearheaded a successful independence movement, expelling occupiers and establishing an independent state. Determined to turn westward, Ataturk drove Islam out of the public square and marginalized it in the classroom. In 1924, he abolished the caliphate, a symbolically shattering event for Muslims. Banna had drawn precisely the opposite conclusion about the sorry state of the Muslim world. For him, Islam was the solution. The problem had been too little of it, not too much, and not just any Islam. Banna had in mind a very particular brand, Salafism. The term Salafia comes from a phrase meaning righteous ancestors, referring to Muhammad and his companions. Banna believed that by mixing Islam with modernism, Muslims had strayed from the path. And the only way to restore the Islam of the founders was to faithfully implement divine law called Sharia. With Sharia's injunctions firmly in place, the Muslim nation would inevitably rise to the hegemony that was Allah's due. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. It's widely perceived to be representative of true Islam. In the late spring of 2011, the Mapping Sharia Project published conclusions from an important study. After surveying 100 randomly selected mosques across the United States, the authors found that 81% of them disseminated Islamic texts that advocate violence. In nearly 85% of the mosques, the imam favorably recommended this literature for study by congregants. Moreover, 58% of the mosques invited guest lecturers known for promoting violent jihad. Now, this is the ideology of the Brotherhood, and this is the same Brotherhood that has dominated the so-called Arab Spring. It has played President Obama for a fool and the West for suckers.
And it's so important to understand that this is this man's opinion about our current president. We don't take that necessarily same opinion that he takes, but to understand that this is how they're thinking things are going to work out for whatever reason, that we need to partner with the Muslim Brotherhood. And even to the point where, as I said earlier, that Congressman Michelle Bachmann, you know, made a public statement that for some reason she was questioning, why are we erasing everything about Islam in the FBI files and the CIA files and all these different investigative branches of government, the Federal Bureau of Investigations is what it does. Mm-hmm. And then befriending the Muslim Brotherhood in the context of, well, if they're understanding what their objective is, then to establish the caliphate, which would be the Quran as the law, Islamic law, that would mean to do away with the United States Constitution.
All right.
That all of our rights come from God, and we're all have the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in the context of that, that all that would just crumble down. That the First Amendment would go away in a caliphate. The First Amendment, that they would say, no, it's Muhammad and Muhammad only. Mm-hmm. That it's the Quran and the Quran only. Of course, the Second Amendment would definitely change, and all of them would, because it would be off Sharia law. The Constitution would be done away with. So you think about it. What is the creed? What are they? And they mentioned it briefly, but you have to understand it. So if we partnered with, or appear to be in relationships with the Muslim Brotherhood, who, as you heard and we saw, and you can see firsthand if you watch the State of the Nation on VFN TV at vfntv.com, you'll see the president speaking at Cairo University in Egypt. Saying these very things himself. He's saying it himself. He says, I consider it my job as the president of the United States to fight against any negative stereotypes mm-hmm. of Islam, no matter where it is in the world. Well, as a human being and even as American, I mean, that's something you can do. Mm-hmm. But as the president,
right.
You know, as the president of the United States, you're supposed to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against enemies, foreign and domestic, you know?
Right.
And if Islam is an enemy of, if Muslim Brotherhood sets themselves in an adversarial role towards our nation, it's like, hey, You know, what's going on? Listen again. This is the creed of the Muslim Brotherhood. And let's hear the creed, what they believe and what their focus is. So we can say we should not be in a partnership with somebody who's going to try to bring destruction to the Jews, to Christians, and to the American Constitution. Listen up.
The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
And you have to understand that the Prophet then saying that Muhammad is the Prophet, which means he heard from God and he wrote the Quran, is to say then the Bible is not correct, that Jesus is not the Son of God, that he is a prophet, but he'll have to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God, but he'll be the assistant to their God who comes out of the ground and puts a mark on everybody.
Right.
You know, and understand this is, and understand, I'm going to play it again so you can hear the creed. This is the creed of the Muslim Brotherhood. Listen up.
Is our objective. The Prophet is our Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
Okay, let's hear one more time.
Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
One more time.
Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
Okay, one more time.
Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
This makes sense when you see two young men who are following Islam, who are Muslims, who thought that things were going wrong based on one of their ones that's arrested now, saying that Muslims are being treated wrong in Afghanistan. And so he and his brother make bombs and they go blow Americans up who are over there as soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're dying. They're committing jihad.
Right.
They're dying. Their highest call would be to die for, in the name of Allah, to die for their God. And so that's a high call. Somebody said, why would anybody do that? It's because we don't understand the contrast between the Quran and the Bible, between Jesus and Muhammad. There is, one is for Christ and one is antichrist.
Right.
Yes, they do acknowledge Jesus Christ, but they acknowledge him as a prophet, not the Son of God. They deny the Trinity. They say there's only one God. And there's not a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, it is a little complicated to figure out, but, you know, you can lose your mind by trying to figure it all out, but you can lose your soul by denying it. But the only way to God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so, but we're trying to get a perspective here. So you see these young guys who've been, they call radicalized, which means, based on what we're understanding then, they became in tune with who our president empowered in Cairo, at Cairo University then, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
So really, I mean, think about, so who really stirred these guys up? Probably think, well, look, the president went over there. I'm an American. I'm an American citizen. He went over there. He began to paint a picture of the Muslim Brotherhood who became empowered, right? And so they're trying to figure out who radicalized these young men. But if you're coming from a perspective that all you're hearing is that, what we just heard, and the Quran is a word from God, then it makes logical sense. Then they're doing their religion. These young guys were, and so the fact that they were considering themselves that obviously they were going to die at the end of this, and they were just going to die in the name of their God.
All right.
That's why these statements in worshiping their God right before they kill themselves, right before they. Somebody, you know, blows themselves up, or these planes coming into the 9/11. These are the radical believers of Muhammad. And if we partnered with them, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, they've infiltrated our government. We look at Fort Hood when I believe it was a general that began, who was Muslim, and I guess he would be considered radical Muslim, which he's a full believer of. And he felt the very same way. his response was based reported from the newscasts were that he didn't like what was happening to his Muslim brothers in Afghanistan and Iraq. Mm. And so he began to kill Americans. And he was an American. But see, now you can understand, it's like, how can these things coexist? How can radical Islam coexist with America? Because in America, you can be Catholic, Baptist, you can be atheist, you know, you can be Buddhist. I mean, you can, but you can't be anti-constitution, anti-American, and you can't take other people's rights. You can't harm other people.
Right.
Don't let them do away with the Constitution. Understand, the Constitution is what the very thing that a lot of people right now are trying to do away with. Do you understand what it's going to be like? I mean, right now they have people dancing around gold calves, I believe, in Oregon.
Wow.
I believe it's Oregon. And it's just like, what is going on right here? Everything that, it's like, what is happening? And so part of being wise is understanding, it's Portland, Oregon, understanding why people do what they do. Listen, even the Word of God tells us to train your children in the way they should go. When they get old, they will not depart from it. Well, they're intense. There was a documentary done called Quran by Heart. And they teach the Quran at a very early age to their children. 81% of Christians don't even read their Bible. There is no expectation of Christian leaders for Christians to even know their Bible. And out of the 19% that are reading their Bible, according to George Barna, the only 3% of them even make any life choices. And it's like, where's this thing going to go? I mean, they're reading the Quran. They're believing the Quran to different levels. You have, you know, radicals who believe it all. You have moderates who believe some of it. And you have liberals who will be considered infidel by the very ones that they're following. And so we got to find out what God's perspective is this. And so these young men were just following the creed of the Muslim Brotherhood then. They're thinking that, hey, if you die in the name of Allah, that you give your life in jihad, then this is the greatest, highest achievement that you can have. So it makes sense, doesn't it? Make sense. So then what do we need to do? We need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to let people know that God loves them, God's got a plan for their life, and that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And under Allah, the name Allah just is God in, I believe, Arab. It's just, you know, Arabic, so it's just another God.
Right.
And as if there is another God. And if we don't wake up, if the church doesn't wake up and understand, God will stop all this evil. If you haven't yet heard on VFN TV, go to VFNTV.com and watch the prophetic happenings, what's taking place, that there is a storm forming against America. God is fastening a storm against us, are allowing it to be a fashioned, ever whatever your doctrine is, we're fixing to get whipped bad. We can repent now, and God can turn it. God can turn it. I mean, one of the teachings is SOS, the Tale of Two Kings. You know, either government's going to be God, or God's going to be God. You can't have them both. And you have to be willing to trust God when God's your leader. And we don't have a chance to talk about the Republic. We will tomorrow. But understanding that America was founded on God being over America. So if government becomes our God, then God won't be there in our hearts in that place.
Right.
And so the question is then, is America under judgment? And that's also in there. Is America, I begin to ask the question, is America under judgment? And it's important to look at, why not ask yourself the question? Why not just take time, turn off all the imaginary movies and all the reality TV shows and all the stuff you've been busying yourself with, put down your game station and your cell phones and whatever is taking all your energy and time and your, you know, run after money and say, listen, you know what? I'm gonna sit down and take time. And I'm going to go to VFN TV at VFNTV.com, and I'm going to watch, is America under God's judgment? And what you're going to find out is this. You're going to find out biblical reality that we're presently in the last phase of being turned over to ourselves. The very last phase. There's three phases to God turning a nation over. It's like the first phase happens, will we repent? The second phase happens, will we repent? It just gets worse and worse until finally we're just turned over. And the question about this generation, which is also there, is what do we do with this, with a pagan generation who